Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Here's the only problem I have. I think the offensive line is going to be outstanding. I'm really excited about them. I if it's the same offense that Ben did, which I'm assuming he did at Detroit, you know, there's a lot of that zone inside running stuff. I don't know. I'm not sold that DeAndre Swift is that type of back. I'm just really not. Yeah. I think the guy's as good as anybody in the league on the edges with right. the screens and the perimeter stuff. But is he between the tackles? I don't care who the offensive line is. You got to have a back that's committed to running for those hard, tough yards inside. And I'm just not sure that he's that guy for us.
That was Dave Wannstedt, but you knew that, on the Mully and Haw Show today. Mully and Ruthie this morning right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Ruthie in for Haw. I'm Rami in for Spiegel and Holmes. That's right. I can do it for both of them, at least for now. Lawrence will be here at 5 o'clock to take the steering wheel and drive us home until 6 o'clock, and I am live from the Hyundai Score Studios. We got coming up this hour, White Sox All-Star Shane Smith joining me at 4:25, and still time to take your calls, your text, 312-644-6767. And Wani there, obviously talking Bears right here on the Score and the state of their offensive line, which he thinks is going to be real, real good. And I think it has the potential to be real, real good as well. I think a lot about these Bears has the potential to be real good. They've won the offseason yet again. I saw another article the other day saying they were the most improved team in the division and actually putting them ahead of the Lions and the Vikings in terms of just pure roster talent. I don't know that I'd go that far just yet, but it obviously has been a really exciting offseason for Bears fans, and that all starts with the head coach hire of Ben Johnson, who you heard Wani talking about there as well. And when it comes to Ben Johnson and him sort of putting his stamp on this football team, when it eventually is Ben Johnson's football team, and I say eventually because as impatient as I am, and I know a lot of you out there also very impatient when it comes to this Bears team because of what we've been watching for so long here as Bears fans and all the suffering that we've been through. This isn't going to be fully Ben Johnson's team. It won't have the Ben Johnson stamp on it right out of the gates. It takes time for in a number of ways for a coach to really have a football team take on his image, his vision, his personality in terms of what the roster finally looks like and of course what the final product out there on the field looks like. Because I think a lot of people look at this Bears team and look at last year and go, well, there was a lot more there. This is a much better roster than what that record might indicate and what a 10-game losing streak might indicate. And I say no. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think this was every bit a 5-win team. I think this was every bit a team that lost and earned 10 losses in a row. And yes, some of that was coaching. But you're not that bad just because of coaching. You don't struggle that hard and that long just because of coaching. And whether we're talking about talent or we're talking about culture and the attitude of a football team that they bring to practice on a day-to-day basis and to a game on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays when they play on those days as well. There were deeper issues than just Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron and a poorly coached football team. There were bigger issues than that throughout the roster. And again, for both the reasons of just talent, fit, and culture and personality, there are going to be guys on this roster that had some hype, that had some expectations, whether it be from me or you or others in the media or Ryan Poles himself. There were plenty of guys that came in with some hype and some excitement and some expectations who we're all going to have to sort of reevaluate. Well, Ben Johnson is going to have to reevaluate, and in the process, we are also going to reevaluate these guys, the role that they play on this football team, and whether or not they can be part of what eventually, like I said before, eventually, not this year, is Ben Johnson's football team. A team that takes on his personality, his vision, his impression. There are going to be guys on this roster that are going to be hard to look at and say, yeah, he ain't it. He's not part of this whole thing. I've been saying this for a while since the Ben Johnson hire, and Jason Leisure, of course, familiar to listeners of this very program, and in the Sun-Times, he talked about this a little bit with an article recently put up, which Bears have most to prove to new coach Ben Johnson when training camp opens. And he points to a number of guys. He talks about DeAndre Swift. I personally, now maybe in two or three years from now, actually the way running backs are cycled through and just his contract situation, chances are DeAndre Swift is not the Bears' number one running back and maybe not even on this roster in a few years, but I don't know that there is a sense of urgency or that running back and DeAndre Swift is at the top of the list of things that I think Ben Johnson needs to be changed out or swapped out, because they had opportunities this offseason. If they wanted to upgrade or add at the running back position, whether it be through free agency or through the draft, they had opportunities to do that this offseason and just haven't done that. And so, and on top of that, DeAndre Swift's most productive time in Detroit was probably that one season that he had under Ben Johnson, or working with Ben Johnson. And so I think he walks in and he goes, yeah, maybe not the guy that I want at running back, but I can work with that. I can work with DeAndre Swift. He talks about Jason Leisure, that is, talks in this article about Cole Kmet, and plenty, so much speculation about Cole Kmet. And by the way, if you're reading what's being portrayed as trade rumors when it comes to Cole Kmet, they're lying to you. Those are not rumors. That's just speculation. That's just people, and most of them not here in Chicago and following this team on a day-to-day basis, looking at the fact that they drafted Colston Loveland, looking at Cole Kmet's contract situation, and the fact that he's now sort of an extra tight end, and putting the pieces together and going, oh yeah, there's a guy that they might trade. It's that time of year where a lot of guys and gals are writing articles like that, are doing segments on shows like this of who are good trade candidates, and that's all it comes down to with Cole Kmet. That's not coming from the Bears, that Ben Johnson doesn't want him or doesn't think he can use him. That's not coming from the front office and Ryan Poles. It's just people putting the pieces together and saying, yeah, maybe the Bears trade Cole Kmet, and maybe there is something there, but I don't think there's anything there. Ben Johnson notoriously loves 12 personnel, two tight end sets, and I think that while Colston Loveland probably is the Sam Laporta in this configuration, there's still room for Cole Kmet to get plenty of snaps and plenty of targets and be part of this offense. And I think early on, especially when Colston Loveland is sort of learning the ropes of the NFL, that you'll see Cole Kmet be kind of a bigger part of this offense, and then things will shift and you'll see Loveland sort of take that role. Another guy that's mentioned in this article by Jason Leisure, and a guy who I've kind of had in the back of my mind as one of these players who just might not be it, who just might not be part of the Ben Johnson Bears, is DJ Moore, man. And that would be a hard pill to swallow, because I don't know about you. I loved DJ Moore when they brought him in, on and off the field. And I'm not 100% out on DJ Moore by any stretch. But you got to look at a few factors when it comes to DJ Moore and why I say he might not be part of what eventually is the Ben Johnson Bears. And if you got a guy who you don't think will be a part of this thing, 312-644-6767. Give me a call or shoot me a text. Get in on the show. When talking about DJ Moore, and just a few things. One, and I know it's on some level maybe not fair to put this on DJ Moore. It's the ultimate team sport, and there's 53 guys on the roster, and there's 11 guys on offense, and 11 guys. I understand. Coaches, I know the whole thing. And maybe I'm being unfair when putting this on DJ Moore. He's never been part of a winning team. And he's always been one of the guys who people look to perform and lead the way for winning teams when they had expectations in Carolina when he was there and subsequently after he was traded to the Bears. He's not just a role player. He's not a guy who's going to come in and sort of fly under the radar. He's one of the dudes that's supposed to come in and change things and play a big role in winning football games, and he's never done that. He's never been part of a winning organization. Again, maybe not fair to put that on him, but that's on him. Whether I like it or not, whether you like it or not, whether he likes it or not, he's never been part of winning. The second thing is, we saw a side of DJ Moore last year that we hadn't seen before and that I didn't particularly enjoy. And again, don't want to make this a bash DJ Moore segment. Still got a lot of love for the guy. Obviously a lot of talent there. And maybe I'm wrong, and hopefully I'm wrong, because the less you have to change, the sooner we get where we all hope we're going. But we saw a side of DJ Moore last year that was kind of pouty. When things weren't going good for the Bears and for him personally, kind of, you know, some of the bad body language and things of that sort. Walking off the field, a little jawing back and forth with Caleb once or twice. We saw a side of DJ Moore that we hadn't seen before, and Ben Johnson has been very vocal about how he wants his players to sort of portray themselves and comport themselves on the football field. But three is just sort of reading the tea leaves. And just for clarity and clarification, DJ Moore's contract dictates he'll be around here for two more years. It all but dictates he'll be around here for 25 and probably 26. But like I said, this thing taking on the mold of a Ben Johnson isn't going to happen overnight. It might be a year or two before this thing is fully Ben Johnson's football team and vision. But you just drafted Roma Dunze last year. Then this year, you went and drafted a wide receiver in Luther Burden in the second round, who a lot of people gave a first-round grade to. Not to mention Colston Loveland and the role that they envision him playing and how many targets and receptions that's going to eat up and fewer for DJ Moore. I look at this, and I see a number of factors that maybe indicate that DJ Moore is not part of the, or possibly not part of the Ben Johnson Bears. Because there is going to be some sort of like roster cleaning that needs to happen for this Bears team before they're fully Ben Johnson's football team. And all those guys that I just talked about and others could be candidates for what I'm talking about. But for my money, DJ Moore looks like the most likely. And again, I hope I'm wrong about that. I hope he lives up to all the potential and expectations that we all had for him and still have for him. I really do. And I got people in the text pointing out, yeah, they're really bad. DJ Moore on the Chiefs and they aren't winning. I get it. I understand. It's not entirely fair to put that on him. But when you're one of the captains and one of the premier players for losing teams over and over and over again, you're going to wear some of that. I'm seeing a lot of Cole Kmet as the guy that people think might not be part of this thing when all is said and done. We'll see. Still plenty of time to go. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Is that right? 2 weeks till camp? 3 weeks till a preseason game for the Chicago Bears? That feels good to say. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, White Sox All-Star Shane Smith joins me, Rami Makhlouf, in for Spiegel and Holmes. Until 5, Lawrence will be here at 5, right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student-athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
There he is, Shane Smith, making his big league debut. That has been clocked as high as 100 miles per hour, so he can hum it in there.
As we know, the All-Star game is around the corner, and we have a selection.
First big league strikeout for Shane Smith. Let's keep that baseball.
Well, it's that straight change that will make the difference.
We know how big of an honor it is to be named to the All-Star team, to go represent your teammates, your organization, your family, you know, everything that you put into this game on the biggest stage is obviously a tremendous honor.
Here's his 0-2. Goes with the curve as he pumps his fist to get off the mound. They stuck with Shane Smith in this jam. Strike three, a new career high, 7 strikeouts for Shane Smith.
And obviously it's not just about stats, right? It's about how you compete, how you carry yourself, the professionalism, and ultimately earning the respect of the league.
To the top, and Shohei Ohtani.
The payoff from Smith, and he gets the swing and a miss. Good pitch. Shane Smith, a wipeout curveball.
As Shane Smith has used 85 pitches against a red-hot Tiger lineup, completely subdued them. He'll leave with a 1-0 lead.
I'm extremely proud to announce the first rookie pitcher in White Sox history to be named to the All-Star team, Shane Smith.
A wonderful hand from this appreciative crowd.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
Rami Makhlouf in for those Spiegel and Holmes guys. For the time being, Lawrence is live from the Summer League in Las Vegas and will join me at 5 o'clock. But yeah, joining me now on the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Download the Circus Sports app today is White Sox All-Star starting pitcher Shane Smith. Shane, how are you this afternoon, my man?
I'm doing well. No complaints for me. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Now, Rule 5 draft pick to All-Star in just a few months. Did you ever envision this, and what did it mean to you when you got word that you were going to be the White Sox representative at the All-Star game next week?
Yeah, a lot of emotion. You know, with the Rule 5, you never really know, and I was trying to make the team out of camp, and you know, next thing you know, it's the middle of the summer, and I was getting that great honor. Yeah, really, really grateful, really thankful, and I'm looking forward to it.
I was reading today, Will Venable, your manager, he was talking about your journey to being an All-Star, and he pointed to spring training, striking out Shohei, Freeman, and Will Smith back-to-back-to-back with not a lot of pitches, and he said that's kind of when he knew that they had something in you. Do you remember that sequence? And do you remember thinking like, oh, I just struck out the top three in the best lineup in baseball, and maybe I've got something here?
Yeah, that was definitely a turning point for me. You know, my first outing of spring was not very sharp. I think I, you know, walked 4, gave up a base hit, and you know, kind of got knocked around a little bit, and yeah, that Dodgers outing kind of not solidified me on the team, but, you know, kind of gave me that confidence going into it that, you know, I got good stuff. And, you know, if I'm around the zone, I'm in the zone, then, you know, good things can happen.
Yeah, I feel like no matter what you do, you have those moments where you're like, oh, I'm good. You know, like it happens to me whether it's in this profession or I do stand up on the side, and you walk a little bit different, like your head a little bit higher when you can do something like that.
Yeah, it's definitely you know, you try not to be results oriented in this game because it's so hard and failure so accustomed to it, but when you have good days like that and you know, you have to relish in them and you have to, you know, appreciate them when they come and let them know kind of, or let yourself know that, you know, you keep doing what you're doing, good things can happen. So yeah, definitely a great day for me and especially early on in spring.
Now I was surprised when, cause it's a long and pretty storied history, but when I heard that you were the first Sox rookie pitcher in history to make an all-star team, 125 years, you've had Burley, Sale, Crochet. Did that shock you to hear that? And has the magnitude of that hit you yet?
It did shock me quite a bit, actually. You know, with some of the names you just mentioned, it's pretty hard not to think that they didn't have an all-star year in their rookie year. You know, because they've been so good for so long. But I don't know if the gravity of that has really hit me yet. You know, I don't think a lot of this has quite hit me yet. You know, it's been a couple of months since my debut, and that feels like it was, you know, years ago. So, you know, trying to take it one day at a time and really looking forward to Atlanta. But to be the first rookie pitcher is a real honor, especially in White Sox history.
What is it you're most looking forward to about your all-star experience in Atlanta next week?
I think a lot of it will be, you know, getting to know. It's a quick kind of couple of days and you got a lot of stuff going on, but, you know, just trying to pick their brains and, you know, get to know some of the best guys in baseball. You know, the hitting side, the pitching side, you know, the coaching staff and the managers and, just trying to be a sponge as much as I can. You know, if they got any information about, you know, mentality or preparation or in game or, you know, what their off season looks like in terms of training and preparation for a year, whatever that looks like. And also I'm really excited to see the fans, you know, see the passion that this game has and, you know, see it in its full form in Atlanta.
Do you still get starstruck at all? Or is there a guy that you're going to be at All-Star Weekend with that maybe you grew up watching that you're going to ask for a selfie or an autograph or whatever the case might be?
I think I'm going to try and get everybody in my locker room for sure, his autograph. You know, I've talked to a couple of people who know some people and, you know, they're like, hey, you know, make sure you go out and, you know, get your jersey sent around or get a ball sent around that, you know, guys can sign, you know, cause you'll have that for the rest of your life. You know, it's pretty hard to get, you know, everybody in an all-star team signature, never mind on one piece of memorabilia. So, I wouldn't say it's one guy in particular. I'm just like, I'm really excited to talk to the pitchers. You know, whether it's during BP or in the bullpen or, you know, walking the red carpet or, you know, whatever event we're at, you know, just getting to know them and get to know them as people, because you see them shove every day or every 5 days and, you know, they just put up astronomical numbers, but get to know them as people will be exciting for me.
Talking with White Sox all-star rookie pitcher Shane Smith here on the Spiegel and Holmes show on the Score. Rami Makhlouf in for Spiegel and Holmes. What are you getting the autographs on? Like a ball, a jersey, or do you have like a book you're going to put them all in? Have you figured it all out yet?
My understanding is that, you know, we get a couple of jerseys, so definitely going to dedicate one of them to be the signature jersey. I'm going to try and get a few balls. I think they give you a good bit to kind of, you know, send around and to sign. So whether it's a baseball, it's definitely going to be a baseball and definitely going to be a jersey. I don't know if I'm going to bring a booklet. That, you know, that'll look weird. You know, hey, can you sign my journal here? But yeah, definitely baseball in a jersey or two.
Going back to your on-field success and what's gotten you here to this point, was there something that you and the coaching staff sort of unlocked this year, something that you're doing different with your approach, whether it's in the way you're attacking pitchers or the way you're getting ready for each start and in between each start?
Yeah, so this past offseason I added a changeup. I've had the fastball curveball for a while. Slider I introduced kind of in the minor leagues, and then the changeup was something I introduced this year. And I think that just added another dimension for me personally against lefties and righties. You know, just something else to worry about. It's not a slow changeup, but it's got some action to it. And it's working with Ethan Katz, our pitching coach, and Brian Bannister, you know, our pitching guru here, and just realizing that that's a really good pitch. It's still new for me, so I'm still figuring out, you know, the feel comes and goes, and the you know, the strike throwing of that pitch comes and goes. But I think early on it was a really good addition that was hard for guys to pick up, and you know, this is the big leagues and teams adjust, so you know, you got to adjust with it, you know, staying within the means of what you do well. So, you know, working with them constantly about, you know, what's working, what's not, how do we attack hitters. But I think the biggest thing is just being aggressive and staying aggressive.
You brought up Ethan Katz and Brian Bannister. How different and just how good of coaches and sort of mentors have those guys been for you since you got here to the White Sox?
Bannister was great early on in spring. Just kind of give me that confidence of the way my fastball profile is. It's a little unique with release characteristics and the action that it gets on it sometimes. And finding a feel for that changeup and knowing like, hey, just get the grip and let it rip a little bit. You know, just let the seams and the baseball and all that kind of science-y physics stuff, you know, take care of it. And Ethan Katz has been, you know, really extremely helpful for me. You know, it's a long year and you go through a lot of starts and, you know, I think I'm at 17 right now. And, you know, the first, you know, I think 12 were really solid. And then, you know, you go through, you know, the growing pains of being in the big leagues and facing big league hitters. So it's working with Katz and making sure that I'm doing everything that I did well early on and making sure I'm, you know, staying on that stuff.
And when you just brought up the fact that, you know, there are going to be hiccups. There are going to be times when you struggle, especially at the major league level. You're going against the very best in the world. And you haven't been shy about these last four starts. You've hit a bit of a rough patch, whether it's a stretch like this or it's being a Rule 5 draft pick. How do you keep your confidence up and your belief in yourself up to the point where you ride it into an All-Star game next week in Atlanta?
I think, you know, a lot of it is, you know, I do a lot of mental strength work, I guess you could call it. You know, I grew up, sure. You know, knowing that, you know, nothing, if anything's easy, it's not good. You know, like if it comes easy, then it's like, okay, you got to go for something else that's harder. And I think, you know, the game keeps you in the midline. So if you get too high, the game brings you down. If you get too low, the game brings you up. That's kind of how I'm thinking of it. So, you know, I had a really good stretch, and now the game adjusts to me, and now it's time for me to adjust back. And, you know, I think working out, you know, making sure my bullpens and my midweek look, you know, feel good and look sharp, and my pitches are doing what they're supposed to, and you know, meeting with the catchers and saying, like, hey, we get, you know, let's tweak this attack a little bit, or, you know, let's switch something up so that we're getting the result that we want. We're just kind of getting there in a different way. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is just believing in yourself. You know, I've never been in on any prospect list. The Rule 5 draft was the first time I've ever been drafted. You know, it's not like the chips have been stacked against me by any means, but it hasn't been, you know, the easiest path to the big leagues. It's not the hardest, but it definitely hasn't been the easiest. So, just knowing that you're here for a reason and you just have to keep at it.
Now, another guy on your team, one of your teammates, one of your mates in that starting rotation who got thoughts, some people thought should get some consideration for the All-Star game, Adrian Hauser. He had a moment the other day in your dugout where, as he put it, he puked and rallied. As the saying goes, in the dugout. It's kind of gross, but did you witness that? Is that unusual in a Major League Baseball dugout? And just how good has that guy been to sort of work with and play alongside?
Yeah, the puke and rally, I haven't seen. I've seen it in other facets. I have not seen it in a big league dugout. So to see that, yeah, I saw him kind of coming off the field, grabbing his chest and his cheeks filling up, and I was like, oh boy. I think he's done it in private before, so this was my first time seeing it. And you know, props to him, man. He's been an absolute bulldog for us, you know, to be honest, my selection of the All-Star game, I'm extremely grateful for it. But man, he has put together an unbelievable, I think, 10 starts now. You know, just to learn from him a little bit, kind of like just the way he attacks hitters. Like he's got good stuff. Is it otherworldly? Is it outlier? Like some pitches are, right? But he just pounds the zone. He throws four pitches for a strike. He knows what he does really, really well, and he just attacks guys. And I think that's the biggest thing that I take from him is that, you know, no matter what your stuff looks like, if you can throw strikes and you can make guys chase pitches and, you know, you can miss barrels with small location tweaks and all that, then, you know, good things can happen. So, you know, every time he goes out there, I'm definitely locked into what he's doing, and I pay attention.
That is Shane Smith, White Sox rookie, all-star pitcher. He's headed to Atlanta next week. Shane, congratulations on this honor and all the best moving forward, man. Really appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
There's Shane Smith, and he joins me on the Circa Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. There are some guys who need to puke and then rally. Like Donovan McNabb used to do that. All the time.
So that's probably about the fifth time. So that's nothing new. The trainers knew. I've told them when I came in, I was like, hey, this is a possibility. And so once I get it out, it's all good, ready to rock and roll. Feel a lot better after. So I was able to settle in after that and just, you know, puke and rally.
He's very casual about it. Like he made it seem like that's just something he does. Yeah, once I get it out, we're good, man. That's whatever it takes, right? Whatever it takes. We're giving away a pair of Fish tickets. That's right, tickets to go see Fish Sunday, July 20th at the United Center. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Tanny, Alex, I can't win this, right? Because I've seen Fish 15 times in concert. I wouldn't mind a 16th, especially if it's free, but I am not eligible to win. Is that correct?
Well, I suppose if a listener wants to win and take you, I don't know if I think that's okay. that's something we can do possibly, but no, you can't win on your own, no.
All right, fine. Spiegs has been quoting Fish lyrics, sort of slipping it into the conversation, and when you hear that, you can call up. You can call our contest line, 312-540-0670. And those Fish tickets are yours. I'm going to do the same thing. Again, I've been to 15 Fish shows. I remember some of the lyrics. It's cloudy. It's hazy. But I remember some of the lyrics from those 15 Fish shows I've been to. So keep listening. I'll slip in some Fish lyrics. And then you call into 312-540-0670. Tell us what that lyric was. And you're going to see Fish July 20th at the United Center. And if you want to bring me with, well, I wouldn't mind. And again, you
I've been to 12 Hootie and the Blowfish concerts. 12.
You can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com if you don't win them here on the show. Amazon has finalized their NBA broadcast team, and I'm happy, and I know Chris Tannehill is very happy about one of the guys who they locked in for the play-by-play duties. We'll talk about that. And Lawrence joins us from Las Vegas at the Summer League coming up at 5. Rami Makhlouf in for Spiegel and Holmes right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Score.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
Thank you for 36 incredible years inside the NBA continues here from Indiana with Ernie, Charles, Kenny, and Shaq. Congratulations again to the Indiana Pacers, and now for a final time for Allie LaForce, Stan Van Gundy, and Reggie Miller, Kevin Harlan, and our TNT crew saying goodnight courtside from Indianapolis.
Listen to the Spiegel and Holmes show on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
That's the show. Rami Makhlouf in for those guys. For the time being, Spieg's out for the afternoon. Lawrence will be live from Las Vegas and the NBA Summer League coming up at the top of the hour. And he says, quote, "It's already buzzing in here at the gym in the Summer League," as Lawrence is bouncing around the room out there in Las Vegas, taking in all the festivities, talking to the folks out there in Las Vegas, where it is 182 degrees, I understand, right now in the desert. So we'll hear from Lawrence coming up at the top of the hour and all his observations from Las Vegas and the Summer League. You heard the voice of Kevin Harlan right there. His last call on the NBA on TNT is that contract expired and Turner Sports lost their rights to NBA games. And now NBA games are moving to, in addition to ESPN and ABC, where they already were, they'll be on NBC and Peacock, as well as Amazon Prime. And that last one right there, Amazon Prime, is where Kevin Harlan is heading, as he has officially found his new NBA broadcasting home. He signed what is believed to be a 3-year deal, and I don't know about y'all, but I could not be more thrilled that I'll get to turn on my TV and now not the channel, but the streaming service, and see Kevin Harlan on the call for NBA games. And if nothing else, it keeps giving Tanny material to cut up audio and give to you right here on 670 The Score. So that's good for everyone right here in Chicago and listeners of the Spiegel and Holmes show. Now, in addition to that,
I'm wet, I'm dirty.
What was he talking about? I don't even want.
Doesn't matter. That was Eastern Conference Finals. I think there was a close play on the sideline there, on the baseline.
Oh, did he get splashed or something? Yeah. Okay, so a drink got knocked over or something. It ended up in Kevin's lap. All right, you got me, Danny.
I'm wet. I'm dirty.
Hey, man, this is your idea.
And indeed was. And that's exactly, that right there is exactly why I wanted to do it. But in addition,
pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Keep hitting me with them, Danny. I'll keep trying to get through this segment and tell folks what's happening over there at Amazon. In addition,
here comes Chubb
to Kevin Harlan. Amazon Prime Video has added Brent Berry as a game analyst. Of course, a former Bull and played for the Clippers, Heat, Spurs, Rockets over 14 years. And he was a member of the front office with the Spurs. He'll be part of the broadcast team. But they're doing something different over there at Amazon Prime. They are going to be sort of mixing and matching their play-by-play announcers and their analyst, Ian Eagle, who Score fans are also familiar with as he does football games right here on the Score. Ian Eagle will be the other play-by-play guy, but they're going to have Blake Griffin, Steve Nash, Dirk Nowitzki, Candace Parker, Stan Van Gundy, Dwayne Wade, and they are expecting to hire more. Cassidy Hubbard will be the number one sideline reporter when NBA coverage begins next season, but and they're going to do two-man booths, three-man booths. Some of these guys, like Nash and Wade, are going to be bouncing back and forth between the color analyst for some games, and then they'll be in studio for pre- and post-game shows for other games. So it's going to be different. It's going to be new faces, new voices, and sort of a different way of doing things, a new way of doing things over there at Amazon. I'm curious to see how the product turns out. I know Kevin Harlan is going to be good, but sometimes working with each other over and over again, like for example, a Spiegel and Holmes, it's good for the quality of the broadcast, like developing that chemistry, having some idea of where your partner might be going.
Yeah,
might
sometimes you just can't stand each other. You leave in the middle of a show sometimes, and sometimes you know you go to Vegas, you know, out of nowhere for the NBA Summer League. You know, sometimes these things happens among partnerships. You know,
that is true. Like here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. So we'll see what the product looks like. There was one name I was reading this article. And there was one name that I kept waiting for, and maybe he already signed to do something somewhere else. Maybe he's part of the NBC Peacock crew. I don't know, and maybe I missed it. Is Brian Anderson involved in NBA broadcast anymore? Because I love that guy. Not as much as I do Kevin Harlan, but I love Brian Anderson on the call for NBA games. I didn't see him in this article about Amazon. I haven't heard anything about him being with NBC and Peacock, and I know he's not a part of the ESPN ABC broadcast, so I'm curious what the deal is with Brian Anderson and if and where he might land somewhere as part of the broadcast. But I was, again, very, very happy to hear that Kevin Harlan is going to be a part of things still. And he'll keep doing his thing for CBS on the call for NFL games, and you'll hear him here on the Score for the call on NFL games as well on some of those national games. So plenty of Kevin Harlan, which is always a good thing if you're a fan of sports and great play-by-play announcers who bring a little fun to the table. Speaking of bringing a little fun to the table, Lawrence Holmes will do just that live from Las Vegas and at the Summer League. The Holmes half of the Spiegel and Holmes show rejoins the show with me, Rami Makhlouf, right after this. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score in the Spiegel and Holmes show.
No! Yes!
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.